There is a very specific, sharp scent that hits the back of your throat before you even see a wisp of smoke. And it is a smell you never forget. It is the smell of ozone mixed with melting plastic, a chemical sting that tells you something hidden behind your walls or inside an appliance is failing fast. I remember the first time I smelled it in my own kitchen years ago. I was standing there, coffee in hand, wondering why the air suddenly felt heavy and sharp. I looked over at the toaster, and there was no flame, just a low, angry hum, and a thin ribbon of gray smoke snaking out of the outlet. My first instinct, like a lot of folks, was to reach for the nearest thing, which happened to be a glass of water. I actually had my hand on the faucet before the hair on my arm stood up, and I realized how close I was to making a bad situation much worse. That is the moment where your heart rate spikes, but your hands need to stay steady. We are going to talk about that moment today, because knowing exactly what to do when electricity turns into heat can mean the difference between a scorched outlet and a lost home. When we talk about an electrical fire, we are dealing with a beast that does not play by the same rules as a campfire or a grease fire in a pan. Most fires need oxygen, fuel, and heat, but an electrical fire has a continuous supply of energy pushing into it until someone cuts the line. That is why it is so dangerous. If you throw water on it, you are providing a highway for that electricity to travel straight from the wall, through the stream of water, and right into your body. It is a mistake I almost made, and it is one that happens in a split second of panic. I want you to understand the physics of it, so that your brain overrides that panic. Electricity is always looking for the easiest path to the ground, and water is a fantastic conductor. When you introduce moisture to a live circuit, you aren't just failing to put out the fire, you are expanding the danger zone. Before we ever get to the point of needing an extinguisher, we have to talk about how I prepare my space and how you should prepare yours. I keep a very specific type of fire extinguisher under my sink and another in the garage, and I make sure they are labeled with a capital C. You will see extinguishers labeled A, B, or C, and sometimes a combination of all three. That C is the one that matters here because it means the contents are non-conductive. It is usually a dry chemical or carbon dioxide that smothers the fire without turning the floor around you into a live wire. I check the pressure gauge on mine every few months, making sure that little needle is buried in the green. I also make it a habit to know exactly where my main electrical panel is located. I don't want to be hunting for a flashlight and a breaker map when I smell that ozone scent. I have mine marked clearly, so I can kill the power to the whole house in total darkness if I have to. I'll tell you about that time in the kitchen again, because it taught me a lesson about complacency. I had noticed that specific outlet felt a little warm to the touch a few days prior, and the plug for the toaster felt loose when I pushed it in. I told myself I would get to it over the weekend, thinking it was just an old house quirk. That was my mistake. That warmth was resistance, and resistance creates heat. By the time I saw the smoke, the copper inside the wall had already begun to cook the insulation off the wires. I learned that day that electricity gives you warnings if you are listening for them. If a switch flickers, if a wall plate feels warm, or if you hear a faint buzzing like a trapped bee, that is the house telling you that a fire is currently in the audition phase. Don't wait for the opening night performance. When you realize you have a minor electrical fire starting, the very first thing I do, and the thing I want you to do, is try to safely disconnect the power source. If it is a toaster or a lamp, and the cord isn't currently melting in your hand, pull the plug. If the fire is inside the wall, or the appliance is fully engulfed, don't touch the cord. Instead, I move quickly but calmly to the breaker panel. I don't just flip the one breaker I think it is. If I'm in a state of high stress, I might misread the labels I wrote years ago. I grab that main shutoff, the big one at the top, and I throw it all the way down. You will feel a solid mechanical thud through your hand when you do this. The lights will go out, and the house will go silent. But that silence is your friend. Once the power is killed, the fire loses its primary fuel source. It is no longer an electrical fire. It is now just a regular fire, burning whatever plastic or wood was nearby. Once the power is dead, I reach for that Class C extinguisher. There is a specific rhythm to using one of these that I've practiced so I don't have to think about it when the room is filling with smoke. I use the acronym PASS. First, I pull the pin. You will feel a little plastic seal snap, and the metal ring will slide out. Then, I aim the nozzle, but I don't aim at the flames dancing in the air. I aim at the very base, the spot where the fire is actually meeting the material. I squeeze the lever, and I expect a loud, rushing hiss, and a cloud of white powder or gas to come flying out. It can be startling if you aren't expecting the kickback in the handle. Then I sweep the nozzle back and forth across the base of the fire. I don't stop the moment the flames disappear. I keep sweeping until the canister is empty or the area is completely buried in that powder, because heat can hide in the copper and reignite the moment you turn your back. You might be thinking that you can just use a heavy blanket to smother it if you don't have an extinguisher handy. While smothering a fire is a valid tactic for a grease fire, I'm very cautious about doing that with anything electrical unless I am 100% certain the power is off. Even then, many household blankets are made of synthetic fibers like polyester that will melt and stick to your skin, making the situation much worse. If I don't have an extinguisher and the power is off, I use baking soda. I keep a large box of it because sodium bicarbonate is a natural fire suppressant. I don't sprinkle it like I'm seasoning a steak. I dump it. I want to create a heavy layer that cuts off every bit of oxygen. Never use flour, though. Flour is organic and can actually explode in a fine dust cloud if tossed into a fire. It sounds counterintuitive, but sticking to baking soda or a dedicated extinguisher is the only way to play it safe. As the smoke begins to clear and my heart starts to slow down, I don't just go back to my day. Even if the fire looks small, I never ever turn the power back on myself. I keep that breaker off. The reason is that I can't see what happened inside the junction box or further up the wire. If the heat was intense enough to start a fire at the outlet, it likely melted the insulation on the wires 6 inches back into the wall. If I flip that switch again, I might be sending current into a bare wire that is now touching a wooden stud. I've seen folks think they saved the day, only to have their house catch fire 2 hours later while they were asleep because the embers were hidden inside the insulation. I call a professional at this point. I want someone with a thermal imaging camera to look at my walls and tell me that everything has cooled down to room temperature. The aftermath of a fire like this leaves a mess, usually a fine yellow or white powder if you used a dry chemical extinguisher. It feels gritty and a bit acidic between your fingers. While I'm cleaning that up, I'm also thinking about the lesson learned. I look at my power strips and my outlets. I ask myself if I was asking too much of that single circuit. We live in a world where we plug 10 things into a spot designed for 2, and we rely on cheap plastic splitters to make it happen. I make it a point now to feel the temperature of my plugs every once in a while. If I'm unplugging the vacuum and the prongs feel hot to the touch, I know I've got a loose connection or an overloaded circuit. It's a simple habit, but it is one that keeps me from having to pull that fire extinguisher pin again. When you are standing in your home and you hear that sizzle or smell that ozone, I want you to remember the weight of the water in that glass and why you must set it down. I want you to feel the ghost of that heavy mechanical thud of the breaker under your palm. Dealing with a minor electrical fire is about interrupting the cycle of energy before it becomes an uncontrolled beast. You have the tools and the knowledge to be the master of that situation. It is about moving with purpose, not with speed. You are the mentor for your own home, and keeping it safe starts with respecting the power running through the walls and knowing exactly how to kill it when it stops being a servant and starts being a threat. Once you've handled it, you'll find that you walk through your rooms with a bit more awareness, a bit more groundedness, knowing that you and your home are in good, steady hands.